I'm expecting God to do some powerful things over the next few weeks. And tonight I'm going to start teaching you on some basics of deliverance. But as we do, I'm going to share some, I want to pray to open us up in with the Word of God first before we do that. And I'm going to read a scripture out of Isaiah 42, and I'm going to actually pray that. Somebody was even asking me about that tonight, and I thought, well, this is a good scripture to start. What I want to teach you tonight is I want to start giving you some tools for you to take and start operating in to bring about victory in your life, okay? Because it's not my responsibility, it's yours. And see, the body has got to begin to start taking up our the responsibility of who we are and what we're dealing with in order for it to be broken off of our lives. And I can give you a whole lot of equipment, and I can pray with you, and I can help you, but the buck stops with you, okay? So, and I'm going to share you a really cool testimony, actually, that I just heard the other day, and it just, I tell you what, it really, really blessed me because it was a person taking their deliverance. You know, the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, we have such an awesome salvation that we want to be careful that we don't just take for granted or become passive in our walk with God. Okay, we need to choose, and it's a choice. Everything you do in the kingdom of God is a choice. You know, faith is a choice. When I don't feel like I really have enough faith, that's when I choose to believe the Word of God, because all the faith that I need is in this book right here. So if I don't think I have enough faith, all I have to do is pick up this book and start declaring what the Word of God says. So I position myself. But whose responsibility is that? It's mine. Okay? Let me pray, and we'll start. Isaiah 42, verse 16, and I'm reading Amplified Bible. It says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known, and I will make darkness into light before them, and I will make uneven places into a plain. These things I've determined to do for them, and I will not leave them forsaken." So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I declare that darkness is turned into light in this place tonight, in every life of every person. I command the darkness to be removed, and I command the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to penetrate into the hearts, in the lives of every single person in this room. I command crooked places to be made straight. I speak to those crooked places, and I command them to come into divine alignment with the Word of the living God. I command the blindness to go. I speak to spiritual blindness, and I command that to be removed. I command it to be cast into the sea, and I command you to see truth tonight in the name of Jesus. I command the Word of God to penetrate into dark places. I command in the name of Jesus, the Word of God. I command where walls are built up, I speak to those walls, and I command them to come down in the name of Jesus. I speak to crooked places. I speak to bars of iron. I speak to bars of iron and brass doors, and I command them to come down, be opened, be removed, and I command ears to hear what God has got to say to you personally, because God's going to say specific things tonight to you personally. So I speak to your spirit, and I command you to hear the word of the Lord tonight in the name of Jesus. And I command you to be built up, and I command you to be edified, and I command you to begin to start walking in the truth of God's word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me get started tonight. I'm going to give you some tools tonight. I'm going to expose some of the works of darkness. When we have the works of darkness exposed, it's always, you know, the devil doesn't like to be exposed. And the reason he doesn't like to be exposed is because when he is exposed, we deal with him. Amen? So I'm going to expose him tonight. We're going to do some prayer. We are actually going to even do some corporate prayer at the end tonight. And we're going to begin to doing that on a real consistent basis. Now, when I've listened to so many testimonies, I've heard so many, many, many testimonies of people who have just sat in the audience and gotten free. Okay, so expect to get free tonight. Expect to have some things broken down so that you can begin to start seeing truth in areas that you've not seen before. Okay, and bring people. There's people that need to be hearing the message because there's so many people that need to be free. We have a mandate from the Lord, and our mandate is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I wasn't going to share this. I've got part of it in my notes. But the mandate is that we take dominion. And we will not take dominion when we don't have liberty and freedom in our own lives. We won't. Okay, so when we're full of bondage, when we still have those chains and we sing, no more bondage, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage holding me. But yet we still, unless you choose to enforce the victory of Calvary, we keep these chains. And why? In Genesis, he told us to have dominion and subdue the earth. That means we, the Adam of today, are to begin to enforce what the Word of God says. So the Bible also says that Jesus is waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. Who's he waiting on? Absolutely. And therefore, let's start right here with this person. When we start learning how to take dominion in our own lives, then we can start helping others. You see, if you're, even if you're wanting to be in ministry, if you stay in a place where you're constantly in bondage, constantly in shackles and chains, don't talk to me about helping somebody else get free. Get yourself free. Get your, you know what I said? It's your responsibility, not mine. I cannot say that enough. I want you more than any time ever before that I've taught is I want you to start getting this that you have got, because we've got a world to win. We've got a whole mass of people out there that are so broken, so wounded, in so much bondage. And if the church stays in bondage, we will not get the people in the world free. We just won't. So we're going to have to experience liberty in our own lives, and that liberty has been provided for us, okay? I'm going to read a couple of my scriptures here, and then I'm going to share this testimony of this person. But it's, anyway, one of the most fascinating aspects of Jesus' ministry is deliverance, and I absolutely love deliverance because I've watched so many people be set free, so many people accomplish what God has for them, so many victories that you will not get apart from that. For so many years, even in our own family, we walked in so much bondage. We would, you know, I've always believed God had the answer for everything. I've never felt like, okay, well, you know, I just have to live with this. I've never felt like I should have to live with anything that was under the kingdom of darkness. But yet, there were so many areas that we still did not have victory. And it would be like, God, why can't we seem to get there? And it wasn't until we began to, we got into the deliverance and we went actually, I've shared this before, went looking for help for just our family because we sure needed help. But then God began to open the doors for us. And so we have been in a progressive, from that point on, a progressive pathway of getting more free and more free and more free, getting that liberation, all right? And as we've done that, we've seen our finances change. We've seen victory in areas in our physical bodies. Just so many areas, you see? And so if the very first thing, well, let me just go through this. 1 John 3:8. It says in 1 John 3:8, and I will be reading Amplified, probably all the way through this most of the time. But it says, for this reason, the Son of God was made manifest. In other words, for this reason, Jesus Christ came to the earth. It was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works that the devil has done. So Jesus came to undo all the works of darkness in the lives of his people. And that simply means that wherever you are at in life, whatever negative things have been done in your life, whatever you're dealing with, whether it's sickness or disease or bondage or lack of any kind, poverty, fear, anxiety, depression, I could just go on and name it, over anything that you're dealing with, Jesus came to undo it. Now, was he successful? Was it undone? All right, so if Jesus successfully dissolved, he was manifest to undo, dissolve, and that's what the Amplify says, and loose all these works of darkness in our lives, and if he was successful in it, then it belongs to us, doesn't it? So why aren't we operating in it? Seriously, why aren't we? Because we don't, for probably a few reasons, but number one, until we become liberated, walking in the liberty that Jesus Christ provided for us, then we can't see really almost beyond right here. And that's where the struggles come in, where we feel like this should be mine, but somehow I am not laying hold of it. Matthew 11:12 says that the kingdom of God has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and an intense exertion. Okay, going back to the fact that I said that the responsibility belongs to us. It says here, the kingdom of God has endured violent assault. Well, what does that mean, it's endured violent assault? Well, I believe what that's saying is that the kingdom of God, God's people, God's purposes have suffered an assault. But we saw Jesus come and undo that assault, didn't he? And then it goes on to say that violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. Okay, so who are the violent men that are seizing the kingdom of God? We are. So is it okay to get violent? With the works of darkness, absolutely. See, we tolerate too much of the works of darkness. You know, one night, Pastor Evelyn was talking about back in the back room there about healing and how some, I forget what it was that you just even said, but about someone that had come and needed this major healing, and she thought, oh, just God, let them go to somebody else, okay? But, you know, sometimes when we begin, and we can feel that way, but you know what? Sometimes when we, talking about getting violent, my son's, you know, I talk about this a lot of time, but our son had a vascular neurosis or Percy's disease, and the bone was dead. Well, we went like 2.5 years, and that's another story, and it's on a lot of my other CDs, but God totally healed my son, which was medically impossible for a healing such as that, but the violent took it by force. That's what I'm wanting to get across to you. We were violent. No, we had to learn some things, but we knew that that didn't have a right to be in us. And why did it not have a right? Because we're in covenant with God. You see, and in that covenant, everything that the devil tries to put on you, if it was on the cross, it doesn't belong to you. Just look at the cross. That's all you got to do. If it was on the cross, it's not yours. You see, and so we don't have to take it. And you know, sometimes we need to become a little bit indignant with the garbage that the devil's trying to dump on us. And we just put up with it. Well, our son went through that, and it was a really hard time for our family because we didn't really know a whole lot of things, and that was kind of back in the day when we would kind of like, well, God, we know healing belongs to us, but why aren't we getting it? You know, do you ever feel like that? I know this belongs to me, but somehow I'm not laying hold of it. Well, we began to learn, and we did actually stumble by accident into deliverance there and cast that thing out of his leg, the death, and got our healing and took the word of God to change it. But about a year and a half ago, a little boy came up here in like a wheelchair stroller. He was 8 years old. And when he came up, it was on the night of an encounter. He came up, and Lou and I were standing in our usual spot. And we were there. And it just, you know, when we do when we do the encounters, you just kind of get whoever is next in line. And the Holy Spirit specifically put that little boy there, and we got him next in line. And when that little boy came up, this is what I felt like. I did not feel like, oh, no, God, don't bring this one up. It's too hard for me. I was angry. I looked at what that was going on with that little boy, and I thought, devil, how dare you? I know who you are. See, I dealt with that same thing. He had a vascular neurosis. He had what my son had. So when that came up, when that little boy came up, I thought, you know what, devil? I know you. I know your works, and you are getting out of this little boy's life in the name of Jesus. And we prayed, and that little boy that week was up walking. Isn't that awesome? But see, that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the violent take it by force. We have got to come to the place. It says that they seize it by force as a precious prize. Well, our healing is a precious prize. Our deliverance is a precious prize, isn't it? Having needs and then those needs being met with the abundance of God is a precious prize. And everything, if it was paid for on the cross, belongs to us. And I'll tell you what, poverty was taken on the cross. The Bible says he became poor that we might become what? Yeah. Poverty, if you ever work with poverty, it is not godly. There's nothing godly about poverty. So we need to come to the place where we realize these things belong to us and we can take them. And sometimes we have to get violent with the kingdom of darkness and start taking what rightfully belongs to us. Quit being passive. Quit laying down, letting the devil walk all over you, but start rising up. And you know what? In order for us to fulfill this mandate, you know, when Adam blew it, when he and Eve messed up this whole thing with dominion and this whole thing with reigning, it didn't stop God's decision. It didn't remove the mandate, did it? The mandate for man to rule and have dominion on this earth and subdue it is still in place. But we don't even come close to that. And oh my goodness, you know what? We need to pray, God, give me revelation. Give me understanding to see what belongs to me so I can start taking it back. And tonight, what I want some of you to start seeing is some of you have come in here tonight and you are miserable. You're tormented. You're depressed. Some of you are sick. Some of you are being overwhelmed with debt. It's time to get to the place where you realize this belongs to me and I am walking in my freedom. I am going to start taking these things back that the enemy has stolen from me, and I am going to begin to get this devil off my back so that I can start walking in the liberty Jesus Christ gave to me, and I fulfill the mandate of God that is on my life. Because we have a mandate, and if we don't fulfill it, let me ask you, who's going to do it? God hasn't given it to anybody else but mankind, his man. The church, all right? The bride of Christ. Okay, before Jesus' public ministry began, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and then he was tempted and tried, which we all know that, by Satan. He prevailed from there, and then his first stop, the first place that Jesus encountered, the first stop was a church where Jesus encountered a man that was demonized, didn't he? That's the first place that Jesus came out of. You can read it in Matthew and in Mark, where the first place after Jesus' temptation, he went to the church. He went to the temple, and he encountered a man with a demon, and that demon said, "Let us alone." You know, the devil doesn't want to be bothered, does he? He wants his little nest. He wants to stay hidden. He wants to, maybe diagnose somebody with a cancer that's incurable, And then it's just leave me alone. Don't stir this thing up. I'm just going to take this life. And we don't do anything about it. And do you know you have the authority and the right? You don't have to die of cancer. You don't have to die of any sickness or any disease. But the devil will say, well, leave me alone. You know, get out of my life. Don't come and tell me that I need deliverance, or don't tell me I need freedom, because where, especially where the enemy has gotten in the generations, he wants to stay hidden so none of us ever deal with it. And you know what? We need to start dealing with these things in our lives so that we can begin to walk in the liberty that God has literally purchased for him. So Jesus's first miracle in the church, I mean, I know he did turn the water into wine, but Jesus's first miracle in the church was deliverance. That's what he did. Very first thing, he encountered the man with the demon, and the demon said, "Let us alone." In other words, "We do not want to deal with you, Jesus of Nazareth." Well, you know what? You know who y'all are? You're a bunch of Jesuses. That's who we are. Go to Luke chapter 4. Every time, this is exactly what the devil ought to have to encounter with us. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." His first miracle in the church was deliverance. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the Messiah, to preach the good news to the poor." What would be good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. Okay? "He has sent me to announce release to the captives." Okay, any place that you are in captivity, and I don't care where that is. That could be in your physical body. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your finances. It could be in your family. He said, "I have come to announce release." Amen. You're released. Amen. You don't have to be captive anymore. "I've come to announce release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, and then to send forth delivered those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity." So God's intent then is to send forth those who are broken down, those who have been oppressed. You know what? And when we come to Christ, out there in the world system, I mean, everybody is oppressed and depressed and broken down with calamity, downtrodden, bruised, crushed. That's the way the world is. But we've got the answer. And we've got the ability to start getting these things off of us so that we might walk in the freedom that God has for us. But it's up to us. So we're going to, like I said, tonight, we're going to be exposing the enemy in some areas. But I'm going to give you tools over the next few weeks on how you can begin to do even self-deliverance. Hold on here, because I want to see where I want to come in with this testimony that I have. Okay, so in order for the church, let me give you these scriptures here on Jesus doing the first miracle in the church was Mark 1, 21 through 27. And that's when he goes in and the demon begins to scream, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus Christ of Nazareth?" And then Luke 4, 31 through 36. So in order then for the church of Jesus Christ to advance and accomplish its mandate, in other words, I talked to you about a mandate. Let me read the mandate to you. Okay, go to Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to read it because we need to get this. But you need to see it in the Word of God. This is what God said. Starting with verse 26. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image, after our likeness." So we're just like God. Actually, that's what an image means, an exact replica. And hold on. Those lights are so bright, they block my reading. Okay, "let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over all of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth." In verse 28, "so God blessed them, said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it." That means bring it under your dominion, under your authority. Subdue the earth, all of its vast resources. Remember I said the mandate hasn't changed? Do you know how many vast resources that the church could learn to take? Who do you think the earth was created for? God's people, wasn't it? You see, but we need to begin to, you know what? The best thing is to do, start practicing it. Start practicing taking authority over things in your life because you have authority over all the works of darkness. Fill the earth, subdue it, with all of its vast resources for the service of God and man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing. You know, do we allow a whole lot of things we don't have to allow? But again, going back into what I said earlier, until we get free, until we start dealing with deliverance, until, I mean, you can see right here, example, Jesus, first thing he did in the church was walk in and encounter a man with a demon and deal with it, didn't he? Okay, first things first, we need to be getting free. When we get free, understanding will come to you. Things will begin to process in your life. How are we going to operate in this dominion until we become liberated? And that is sometimes a process. Let me keep going here, because this process, I'm going to share about this person, that what they did in their life. But in order for the church to advance and accomplish its mandate, which the mandate is to invade, to occupy, subdue, influence, and evangelize the world for Jesus Christ, first of all, we must challenge Satan's rule, and it begins here at the house of God. We have to begin to challenge the rule of Satan in our own lives, in our family, and in our finances, in our physical bodies. That's where we've got to start. Don't start with Joe down the street. Start with you. Start getting the things in your life in order so that when you go out, you're going to have the strength to go out. You're going to have the ability to go out, you see? But you need to start doing that. We need to begin to start driving back the enemy and going in and possessing the land. You still need to be getting up and telling the devil to get out of your house. You still need to be getting up and telling the devil to get out of your finances, get out of the lives of your children. We have authority as parents, as patriarchs and matriarchs over our homes and our families. And don't think for one minute, because the devil would like to tell you that you can't speak authoritative over somebody else's life because they have a will. Well, usually a person's will, if they're not living for God, is blinded. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, 1 Corinthians 4:4, one of them, I forget which one, 2 Corinthians, I think, that the God of this world, little g, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. But he's done it to a lot of believers also. But we have authority. Start commanding him to get his hands off what belongs to you. That's your mandate. Start here. Subdue your own life, and then go after, then you can go out and do ministry, you see. And I'm not telling you you got to get perfect and have everything in order before you can do ministry. But I'm saying if you can't get some things broken in your own life, how are you going to get out there helping somebody else? You see, we just got to do that. Okay, so until we, first of all, challenge Satan's rule, we have to individually challenge his right to rule in any area of our lives. And we've been given power and authority. Jesus didn't just tell us to go do this without giving us the authority that we needed. In Matthew 10:1, it says, he called unto him his 12 disciples and gave them power against all unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all, A-L-L, manner of sickness, and all, A-L-L, manner of disease. We have that kind of authority. Duh. So why aren't we doing it? You know, we get a little spurt here and a little spurt there and a little spurt there. Somebody stands up and does something. But when we become consistent, this will be a regular thing. When we become a body unified in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking the kingdom, okay, and taking back the kingdom of our own lives, and we begin to be unified, what a force to be reckoned with. What can you imagine the devil? I mean, it's one thing for him to deal with Bev Tucker. Okay, it is. I'm not his favorite person. But it's another thing to deal with a Bev Tucker, a Lewis Tucker, an Evelyn Gibson, okay, a Brian and Lauren Bridges, and all of the rest of you. Imagine, John, when we become fortified as together taking our authority, you see, but God's waiting. That mandate has not been withdrawn. We still have the mandate of dominion to rule on this earth. Okay, so we're going to be talking a little bit about the tactics and schemes over the next few weeks. We're going to expose a lot of different demonic tactics that the enemy uses in individuals' lives. And when you begin to see that, then you can begin to recognize how to get him out of your lives, how to deal with some of the roots, okay? When we recognize these things, then and light comes to it, it's easier to get them out. As we walk in our freedom, our liberty that comes through deliverance, the kingdom of God then will begin to manifest in our life. Liberty is freedom. Liberty is freedom to choose. It is liberty is dominion. So in other words, when we begin to get free, then, and you know, I could go into the fact of deliverance is spiritual warfare because it is. But when we begin to start getting free, then, and again, it's your responsibility. Do you know God expects you to be removing these things out of your life? He expects you to be taking authority over darkness in your life. And see, some of us really whine and carry on, get into a lot of self-pity, and poor me, because I spoke to this thing, God, and it's still here. So it didn't work. And so we whine and we carry on. Well, you know what? Get some fortitude. You know, stay there, having done all to do. You do what? You stand. And if you know who you are in Christ, then it's like, no, 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 no. Excuse me. This is my territory, and I'm not moving, devil. You are. He's defeated. You need to understand the devil is a puny, weak, nobody who's been disarmed, made a bold display of, and triumphed over in the cross. You see, that's who the enemy is that we deal with. But we let him come, and he roars like a lion, and we think he's bigger than our God. We do. I'm sorry. So God's waiting on you to start, amen, taking that dominion deliberately, individually, in your own life, so that you can begin to enforce the kingdom of God right here, and then God will move you out to other people to get them free. But you know what? Just do it. Practice it. You know, I've told the devil to get out a whole lot of times. In fact, I think the very first person I ever, and this I've maybe been a Christian a year, I don't even know for that long, but I knew she had a demon. Well, she told me she did, but anyway. So I decided to cast that thing out of her, and I'm there casting it out of her, and nothing's changing. And it was almost like this voice said to me, "You don't know what you're doing." And I thought, "You're right, I don't." So I just quit, you know. But I'm not quitting. See, it doesn't make a difference whether we see things move immediately or not. When we know we're in covenant with God, because of this covenant, it's no different than if Jesus Christ is dealing with that devil himself. Because it's not about me, it's about who he is and who lives in me and who has empowered me and who's given me the authority. So when we stand there, see, God, the anointing breaks the yoke, but as long as we're wishy-washy, we water down the anointing. And again, if we have people who, we got a few people here and a few people there that are taking authority, no, 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 the church needs to take her authority. We need to begin to have a remnant of people that are standing together and taking authority, and then we're going to see an increase of the anointing. Then we'll see things happen quicker, faster, okay? So anyway, in talking about that, and I'm going to give you a number of spiritual forces that we deal with that are in the Bible, and I'm going to describe these spiritual forces for you so you can see where you can locate yourself or whatever, all right? And if you locate yourself there, then possibly you may need some deliverance there. But we're going to do some corporate deliverance. And you know what? Whether you get an individual one-on-one, and I think those are the best, but you can't always get them. Do you know you can individually work on yourself? And even as you sit here tonight, you can join in with us as we're doing corporate deliverance, and you can say, no, get out in the name of Jesus. All you got to do is come into an agreement. There's a young lady that sits here too, and she's another one who amazes me. She's come a number of times for deliverance, but usually when she gets to me, she's already walked herself through so much deliverance that there's not too much for me to have to do when she gets here, because she does enough research in areas that she knows she has bondages, and she just doesn't lay down and die for the devil. Okay? So let me just tell you this story. This true story. I just ministered to this person the other day. And it's just so awesome. This young man came to us a few years ago, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it was a person who came who was dealing heavily with depression and pornography. And so we prayed with them, and I and one of the other guys on my team, we prayed with them, and we broke all this stuff off, broke the depression off and like that. And then he's been diligent in coming to the classes, been diligent in sitting into the prayer. I'm not sure how many times we've prayed with him. It could have been more than once or twice. I don't remember, because we do so many people, we lose track of what we do. But this person has, for the last couple of years, gone after these things. And this is what he's done. Now, we've taught in pornography, and I've taught it on my stuff on sexual sin, that if you deal with pornography, you can begin to start tearing that down. You see, we can tear down no matter what it is. It's a stronghold, so we begin to tear that down. So, and you begin to cast out the images. You begin to cast out, you know, actually, if you want to know one of the major roots behind pornography, it's witchcraft and divination. It's one of the major source of spirits behind that. But he began to pound that. You know, the word of God says in Jeremiah 23, is my word not like a hammer that breaks in pieces the rock of most stubborn resistance? So you might have a stubborn resistant thing going on in your life, but the word of God, if you'll take it and hammer it, it'll have to break. It'll have to break down, and it'll have to dissolve, no matter what it is. Okay, remember I said to you, no matter, you know what? Even if you've done something stupid in your life, how many of you have done something really, really stupid? Anybody in here not raise their hand? You know, and it's been so stupid you don't even want people to know what you did because it was that bad. And you might even have repercussion from it, you know, where you're reaping that, you know. Well, he already undid that. I already took care of that too, you see. So it's not about whether you're smart or not, or whether you've done some, because we've all made mistakes. But Jesus took care of our mistakes. So anyway, this person began to every day take authority over these spiritual things, and he cast them out. Every time they'd come up, he'd start casting them out on his own. He took, I did a teaching a few years back called Edification Through the Speaking in Tongues. And what you can do with your life by taking time every day and praying in tongues. So he began to use that as one of his tools to break down the stronghold of pornography in his life also. He began to cast it out, and he began to pray in other tongues, praying in his heavenly prayer language. And he said as he did, the Holy Spirit began to speak to him, and the Holy Spirit would begin to show him things, and God would tell him certain things to do, and God would begin to even share. He'd have an issue come up, and God would, because he was praying so much and praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would give him a divine word on exactly how to deal with it, and it would be taken care of. And today that person is totally, completely free of any pornography at all. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. But it's that person taking back the kingdom of God in his life. You see, because where is the kingdom established? But it's within us. All right. So when you recognize some things, God expects you. Psalm 110:2 says that he has put the scepter in Zion. The scepter, meaning symbol of authority, has put it in the church. He waits for his enemies to be, well, no, actually it says, and then he commands us. It says he has put the scepter in Zion. And then he commands and he says, rule in the midst of your enemies. So that's a command. So we are commanded to take dominion over the various things that are going on in our lives. Okay? Quit wallowing in what shoulda, coulda, woulda, had been, and realize that but you're done with it. Okay? Decide, all right, devil, I'm not putting up with you no more. And you literally can repent for anything you've done wrong and break the legal rights and get it out of your life too. Quit entertaining things. Sometimes, you know, over the next few weeks when we're done with this, I'm going to get into a series on imaginations, voices, negative thought patterns, and ungodly belief systems, and how we literally operate under those types of things and thoughts and words that the enemy speaks, and that's where we track and run our lives from. And we've got to stop that. We've got to begin to recognize. I've had people come up to me and say, well, Bev, I don't think you've ever liked me. I've never felt like you liked me. Where would they get that? Who would have said that to them? I never said to anybody, I don't like you. See what I'm saying? Where does that come out of? But the voice of the enemy, and they entertain it. They listen to it. See, we've got to quit the enemy telling you you're going to die. You know, and then he might use a doctor to confirm it. But that still doesn't mean you have to die. What it simply means is that your disease, himself took all your infirmities and all your sicknesses. Any disease, any sickness was taken on the cross. That's the voice we want to listen to. You see? Or, you know, you're going to go down and you're going to end up, losing everything you have. No. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And let the poor say I'm rich. Okay, God, I'm saying I'm rich. You know, we're told that in the Word of God. You see? Anyway, I'm getting off. All right, I'm going to go into different types of spirits that are talked about in the Word of God. The first one being wicked spirits. And simply all it means is evil. Sometimes when I'm praying with people, I will say literally, I just command this spirit of darkness come out, or this spirit of wicked evilness come out in the name of Jesus. And it goes. It just simply goes there. But it says here in Ephesians 6:12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The term spiritual wickedness in high places are the wicked spirits that are set on evil purposes, maliciousness, naughtiness, and being nothing but troublemakers. Do you know, maybe you need to command these kind of spirits out of your marriage, out of your relationship with your children, out of your relationship with other people. You see what I'm saying? They're malicious. They bring trouble. They bring problems to you to cause confusion. See, anytime you're dealing too with witchcraft, there's a lot of confusion with witchcraft. So if you come where you're in a state of confusion, but you know what? When a person will stand and start taking authority over these things, those things don't have an option. We need to understand the devil doesn't have an option when it comes to us commanding him to leave. If you repent, you come out of agreement with it, and we renounce it, then we break his legal rights. It is not optional. I was telling someone the other day that, I ministered to somebody the other day too that was supposed to go in. The doctors had told them they had cancer. And they had gone in. It was a tumor that they said was probably definitely, because of all the manifestations of it and symptoms, that was probably cancer. And so I was going through the Word of God with them and telling them that they needed to speak to that and they needed to start confronting it. And I told them the story about when I was, a number of years ago, diagnosed with arthritis. And the doctor said it wouldn't be long before it would be in my back and whatever. And so my thinking when that was diagnosed was like, bah, I am not going to have arthritis. And so I just kind of went on my own merry way and just poo-pooed it, you know? But the pain never left. because I didn't do anything with it. You see, I didn't do like what I just said to you, the violent take it by force. So I just kind of tolerated it. So a couple of years later, I had a man and his wife come to my house for prayer. And this guy came, and he had arthritis. And he was going in for surgery for his hips because he had, there was no cartilage, nothing left in his hips because of the arthritis. And I thought, I'm ministering to him, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. This arthritis stuff's real serious, and I better get on the ball then, because I was real passive with it. So then what I decided to do, because I wasn't afraid of it, but it kind of pulled me up short, kind of like, you know, girl, you better start doing what you need, what you preach all the time, you know? So anyway, I started going after that, and every single time I had pain in my hands, because that's where it was starting, I would speak to that, and I would say, arthritis, you cannot be in my body in the name of Jesus. And I command pain out. I command inflammation out. I command swelling out in the name of Jesus. I did that probably, and I do not believe this is an exaggeration, probably 50 times a day, because that's how much pain I had. But every time the pain come, I addressed it. I quit being passive with it. It took me 2 weeks, and it was gone. I went to Dr. Carrata a number of years after that, and he just was doing an x-ray of my back. He was just doing the regular. And when he got done, he said, you know what? You've got a real healthy structure, but my back was, there was no traces of arthritis or nothing in it, you know? But that's because I stood my ground. See, we have to start standing our ground with the enemy, no matter what area. Now, I've just mentioned all sorts of areas to you. Whether, like I said, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your children, whether it's your finances. You know, sometimes we think we're undeserving, even especially in the areas of finances. It's not about how deserving you are. Get your eyes off of yourself. It's not about how worthy you are. It's about how worthy he is. And he was our substitute. He made that exchange. Therefore, he positioned you into a place of worthiness. Why? So you could enforce his victory. So you could enforce and continue in this mandate we've been given. But the devil wants you to look at yourself and poor me, and I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough, or I don't deserve this, or I've messed up here. And it's not about you. See, we have to get our eyes off ourselves. The devil loves it when we look back right at our own mistakes or at our problems or at our weaknesses. But Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. He is righteous. He is holy. You know, and the Pastor Evelyn says that, but when the priests would, in the Old Testament, when they would bring the lamb to be examined by the priest, when the sinner would bring his lamb, the priest never examined the man. He only examined the lamb. Isn't that awesome? So therefore, it's not about me, but my lamb. My lamb was so pure and so righteous, and he's been examined, and I have been found righteous in all of that. So therefore, I stand worthy to enforce this mandate that God has given me. You see? But if the devil can get you to get your eyes back on you and look at yourself, then you're going to act like he is, weak and puny and nothing, like a zero, disarmed. You see? But that's not who we are, is it? He's trying to get you to act like him. That's where we need to say, no, I'm done. I am done. Anyway, back to the wicked spirits. Okay, so those are types of spirits, and I really believe they can get into a lot of different categories. You know, sometimes if you want to just look at things that are going on in your family, in your home, you know, I think, and I've said this before, but I believe that things from our generations can be some of the strongest, and we have a tendency to tolerate those because we were raised up in them, our mindsets are towards generational things. So we need to become aware of them. And usually we do become aware when we see our kids dealing with them, right? But we can aggressively start taking these things back and casting out spirits of wickedness. Okay, another one is the spirit of Jezebel. And this obviously isn't the woman, but and it does. When they talk about Jezebel, a lot of people think, well, it's a woman spirit. It's not a woman spirit. It's a spirit of witchcraft. It's a spirit of control, manipulation, divination, death, murder. That's what's behind all of that. It endeavors to operate to bring about destruction in the lives of people. You know, and there's a whole lot more with the Jezebel thing, but I'm not going to go into that a lot. But you as a believer, a couple of things there, and this is going to work out in some of these other ones, but we do not have the right to ever try to control another human being. Never. If we try to control other people, we are operating in witchcraft. This Jezebel, old Jezebel, she controlled everybody. And if she couldn't control people, she would force them through all sorts of different things. And if that still didn't work, she'd kill them. She'd have them removed. But she wanted her way. She wanted to completely control. See, watch yourself how you try to control either your children. And that, I'm not telling you that you're not supposed to train your children. But we can't control them. Or your spouses or other people through fear or manipulation or threats or anything else. We don't control them. You're better off letting them go. And in fact, the more you hang on to people and try to control, the more that they are going to probably operate in what you don't want them to operate in. Okay, the next one is a wounded spirit. This thing is huge. This is one of the most common things in the body of Christ. Deliverance from hurts and wounds. And apart from the anointing, there's no freedom and little relief from inner hurts and wounds. In Proverbs 18:4, it says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" So in other words, what that means is simply this, that an infirmity, we can get them off of us if we're strong in spirit. But when we're weak in spirit because of woundedness and hurts and pains, it says, who can bear it? You see, so one of the biggest tactics that the enemy has, and I see this over and over and over, especially in the area of cancer, is woundedness. Rejection. No worth. I don't deserve. I have no value. And that spirit so operates against that person that they will even reject all that God has for them because of woundedness. So we have to deal with inner woundedness. If you were abused as a child growing up, if you were abandoned as a child growing up, if you were neglected, no matter what happened to you as a child, it is now your responsibility to deal with it. Because if you don't, you keep walking in it. You see, I can't go back. Both my parents are dead, and I can't make them pay for anything. Not that it would work. You see, so either I had to own what I dealt with, which one was rejection, and get it out of my life, or just continue to not allow God to do what he wanted to do in my life. That's where the buck stops. Either we're going to move forward or we're not. And why were your parents like they were? Because their parents were like they were. And then their parents before them were like they were. And then their parents before them were like they were. So who are we going to blame, or where are we going to let the buck stop? See what I'm saying? So it becomes the place where we take responsibility for change in our lives. It's where we take the responsibility to get darkness out, to recognize things. And sometimes you may have to swallow a little hard and acknowledge and accept the fact that you're not as cool as you think you are and deal with the stuff that's in your life. Okay? But hallelujah. You know what cool really is cool is getting free and liking yourself, period. All right? So a wounded spirit. This type of a wound, or the woundedness of a person's spirit, is an injury that's deep inside. And like I said, it can be caused from rejection or any painful traumatic event. And what it ends up doing, I just guess I said all my notes here. One of the biggest things that we've seen with people, again, is an inability to receive healing or to receive what they need, even in the areas of finances, begin again because of no self-worth or maybe you're vulnerable in an area of your life and you've not even had victory in that yet. But you know what? Keep pressing in. You'll get to your place of victory. Start calling yourself free. You know, the Bible says that we are to call those things which be not as though they were. You know, Keith Moore tells a story of a man that wanted to be free of cigarettes. And he was smoking all the time, and he seemingly tried everything. So Keith Moore told him, he says, well, when you want to light up the cigarette, and if you light it up, he said, just sit there and smoke it and say, thank you, Father, I'm free of this. I don't need nicotine anymore. Just start saying it. Call those things which be not as though they were. Because what does the Bible say? You're going to have what you say. So that took him about 2.5, 3 weeks, something like that. But he kept declaring, even though he was smoking, Lord, I thank you, I'm free, that I don't need this anymore. And all of a sudden, his desire for smoking totally left him. He began to have the manifestation of what he was saying with his mouth. Therefore, let me tell you this. Don't hold yourself in a place of the bondage. Call yourself free. Declare, no matter what it is, whether it's pornography, whether it's fear, whether it's anxiety, begin to declare whatever you're dealing with, I am free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, no more chains holding me. You know, we really need to be declaring that and not speaking out your problem. Again, we're going to have what we say. Another spirit is the spirit of oppression. The word speaks of a spirit that oppresses. When one feels oppressed, things weigh heavy on their mind. They feel trampled down, distressed, overpowered, subdued, troubled on every side, crushed, pressed down, broken, depressed. Okay, so we then have authority over that oppressing spirit. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Another spirit is a spirit of bondage. That's Romans 8:15. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Greek word for bondage is doulian, which is linked to the English word slave. A slave is one who is subject to the will of another and may then be enslaved by a spirit of bondage. Okay, so that again is why we want that spirit of bondage. What is enslaving you today? Is it fear? Do you worry all the time? Do you doubt God all the time? You see, you can begin to take authority over that and break its authority and cast it out. You have to cast it out. But you know what? Some of you think, well, I can't get free unless I come to the class, and you should be in the class. You need to come to the class. You need to come to the class because you need to figure out what you're dealing with, all right? And begin to learn how to do some of this stuff. But you can take authority in your life. Actually, when we got into a deliverance, we basically either called it off ourselves or each other or just off of ourselves because we really didn't know anybody else to do deliverance. But we began to go after things and even things that we didn't like to have to say, acknowledge they were in our lives, like pride, you know, different anger, whatever you want to, you know, deal with. But you know, we have to get rid of those things. And sometimes if you don't own it, you'll shift it onto somebody else. See, if all my problems were Lou, which most of them were, just kidding. I just love having the mic when I get to do that. Anyway, so then I couldn't cast him out, but but seriously, we had to own our own stuff, you see. So would I own my sin if I tried to shift it onto him? No, I wouldn't. You see, so it was kind of acknowledging that I'm as guilty as he is in some areas, you know, especially when you sit and you fight and you quarrel and you have disputes and you have pride and you have all this dissension in your homes, you know, it takes two, right? So when we will own it, then we can acknowledge that, okay, I used to tell God to change him all the time. And then one day God told me to look in the mirror. So I didn't realize back then, but it was this book. This is the mirror, because I was so new in the Lord. When he said mirror, I just, you know, you can always say that even in the world. They say, well, go look in the mirror at your own self. But, You know, so that's kind of what I thought he meant. But then I finally got the revelation that the mirror is God's word. And that's where we're supposed to behold ourselves, isn't it? And that's where our life standard is. I'm going to share one more with you, and then we're going to pray with you. Sorrowful spirit. This is an almost uncontrollable spirit. And in 1 Samuel 1:10, it says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sorely, or with deep, deep pain in her heart. That can come in through, like, great loss of something in your life. It could be a lost loved one. Sometimes it can even be over lost things in your life. And that's even more sad, because things should never hold us. But also that deep sorrow can also come from, we deal with that with a lot of women who have had abortions, okay? And so there needs to be that relief from that spirit, because a spirit comes in to torment. And a spirit of sorrow comes, a grieving spirit, to make your life miserable and keep you from going and moving forward in your life, okay? I'm going to lead you through some prayers, and then we're going to do just a little bit of corporate deliverance with you tonight. Probably next week we'll do more so. But I want you guys to start getting used to coming and removing as you're sitting here, okay? Or going home, and once, you know, the Holy Spirit shows you things. Just like this person I shared with you at the beginning of the class that dealt with the pornography and the depression. When he went home, he attacked it also. He didn't just wait till his next appointment or the next time we had class. He personally began to address things. And then he began to pray in the spirit so he would build up his spirit man. You see, we need to take time, especially if you're dealing with bondages such as that. Then get in this word, build yourself up, or begin to pray in the spirit so you're not, so that, you know, it says, dearly beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, God will show you even how to deal in areas of your finances, your marriage, sickness, disease. We need to tap into the source of life, the Holy Spirit, okay? So I'm going to lead you through some prayers. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I come out of agreement with all the rippling effects of evil, wicked spirits that have been loosed against me because of poor choices and ill-advised decisions that I've made. I renounce, break and loose myself from all assignments of evil against my life. And you know what? Even as we're praying that, if you know evil that's been loosed against your life, name it. Name it before God and the devil, all right? Like if it's sickness, if it's marriage problems, if it's lack and insufficiency, say, I renounce, come out of agreement, break and loose myself of every evil program against my life because of bad decisions that I've made or by those who have preceded me. I decree I am free from every generational effect of wickedness. I pronounce over my life a walk free from all calamity, distress, adversity, afflictions, sorrow, grief, wretchedness, because Jesus, you nailed them to the cross, and they're not mine. I come out of agreement with all programs of bondage, control, slavery, and oppression. I claim liberation from every declaration of Pharaoh, the ruling spirit behind enslavement that's been in my bloodline. And tonight, I break off all slavery to sexual addictions, alcohol, drugs, depression, lack, poverty, in the name of Jesus. I cut off all these spirits from my life in the name of Jesus. And I decree a release from every plot, scheme, and agenda of the enemy that has been sent to break momentum in my life. In the name of Jesus, I decree my ears are circumcised from the impact and the influence of evil reports. Now, your evil report could be a doctor's report. It could be a debt lack, whatever. It could be a bad report about your kids at school. But tonight, say, I decree, I break off the negative influence of all evil reports, and I will not stray or move away from what you have ordained for my life. I receive tonight every promise as yes and amen. I receive that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I receive that Jesus, you were made poor that I might become rich, and you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I declare that I am blessed. I am prospered. I am free. I am righteous. Things go well for me. I have the favor of God in the name of Jesus. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we need to be saying. Whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe his report. Any report I've ever gotten that's been negative, when we've said, we're not going to agree with this, we're going to agree together that God's word is what's going to stand. We have watched the Lord take out one obstacle after another. I mean, huge, huge miracles happened. But see, you have to agree with what God says. You have to start telling the enemy it's his time to go. Well, I'm going to begin to pray. And as I begin to pray, then I want you to begin to even start speaking to some of these things yourself. All right? And I really believe that I had the word of the Lord for you tonight, that it is your time to start taking these things and start acting on them yourself and doing them yourself. And start taking, I literally, and I tell you what, was absolutely blessed beyond measure when that person came and told me he'd been doing all this stuff the last few years. Because I expected when we made the appointment that we were going to deal with a whole lot more stuff. But he's been diligent. And he's been diligent to pray in the Holy Spirit. He's been diligent in taking and enforcing what Jesus Christ paid such a huge price for. That's our mandate. See, our mandate was to rule, to have dominion. And man lost it, but God got it back because he never changed his mandate. See, so God expects us right here, start here. And that means in the name of Jesus, I command you to get sickness out of your life in the name of Jesus. I command you in the name of Jesus to begin to take authority over darkness in your life. And I speak to disease. I speak to infirmity, and I command it to come out in the name of Jesus. I speak to heart problems. I speak to digestive problems. I speak in the name of Jesus to cancer, and I command you to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak to arthritis, and I command that inflammation, that swelling, and that pain to go in the name of Jesus. Now, you tell it too. I'm calling out what I feel God's saying, but you speak to them. I command right now, heart palpitations, go. Anxiety, go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to diabetes. I speak in the name of Jesus to high insulin levels. I command infirmity in the pancreas to go right now and malfunction in the pancreas in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command that to go in Jesus' name. And I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to declare a scripture over you in the name of Jesus. I declare tonight that the enemy is cut off and vanquished in everlasting ruins. I declare the ruins of every scheme, every counsel, and every plan of hell against you tonight in the name of Jesus. I declare that those schemes are plucked up In the name of Jesus, we overthrow the cities of the enemy, and we declare that his very memory shall perish in the name of Jesus. I command and I declare that in Jesus' name, tumors and growths dry up from the roots and go in the name of Jesus. I speak death to sickness and disease. I command death and lack and poverty. Come out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command it to expel in the name of Jesus.
We command every spirit of insufficiency. You be uprooted in the name of Jesus Christ. You go when we command your works to be undone in the name of Jesus Christ. You poverty spirit, you go in the name of Jesus Christ. We pull you out in the name of Jesus Christ, and we command all your works to be destroyed. And we command all that shame of poverty. We command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command every weapon formed against supernatural prosperity in their lives. We command those weapons to be powerless against the people in the kingdom of God.
The name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus, right now, I command the pain of poverty to come out in the name of Jesus. All that torment of poverty, we come against you. We silence your voice. And we command all your works being done. All that wounded spirit from poverty, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus. All that hope deferred that makes the heart sick, we command that to go right now in the name of Jesus. And we release healing into those places right now in the name of Jesus. We command souls to be restored right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you, Father Lord. We decree and declare what your word says, Father Lord, that the righteous shall never be abandoned, that their seed shall not be begging for bread. Father Lord, that you abundantly supply and fill to the full our every need according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And we release that provision that has been held up. We release you now to come forth into the hands of God's people without delay in the name of Jesus.
And I take authority right now over words that have been spoken that somehow, for some reason, I just can't get a job. I break the authority of those negative words right now, and I command every spirit that's been loosed to hinder you and to cause you to be rejected everywhere you go because of words spoken against yourself. I break those self-imposed vows, those self-imposed word curses over your own life in the name of Jesus. I come against right now mental torment in the name of Jesus. I come against confusion and manipulation of the mind. I command voices that are tormenting and speaking against you, come out in the name of Jesus. All that noise, I command noisome pestilence to expel in the name of Jesus. I command divination against your mind to come out. Divining spirits that divine and torment, that cause you to feel rejected, to cause you to feel worthless, to cause you to feel confused. I break those off in the name of Jesus. And then all that unworthiness in the name of Jesus. I command occult voices broken off your mind right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break it.
We command in Jesus' name, we command all that fear and all that doubt and all that unbelief. We command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ and never to return in the name of Jesus Christ. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And we proclaim in Jesus' name, we proclaim victory, increase in healing. And we receive the goodness of the Most High God. And we declare his goodness in this land. We declare we will see his goodness and we will receive his goodness and we'll receive the fullness of the person of the Most High God. And we declare in Jesus' name that this day that doubt, fear, and unbelief, those strongholds are broken in the lives of the people of God. This day, in the name of Jesus Christ, this day, those strongholds are broken. And we come against, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come against that spirit of prostitution. We come against that spirit, all these sexual perverse spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against you and we command you to be uprooted in the name of Jesus Christ. Pornography, you go in the name of Jesus Christ. You go in Jesus' name. Lust and perversion, you go in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command those homosexual spirits. We command command you to be uprooted in the name of Jesus Christ. You go. And I command in Jesus' name all those spirits that try to talk people into perversion because of fear and because of loneliness. We command that whole network to be uprooted in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command it to go. We command all that false comfort of sexual sin. We command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. We command that spirit of shame that comes with it. We command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command your works to be undone in the name of Jesus Christ.
The name of Jesus. Now go ahead. If that's you, work with us. Start casting that out. I speak to mental torment again. I command mental illness to come out. Generational mental illness. Expel in the name of Jesus. I command literally like a band that's around your head that literally it's like it has something and it's like it just tightens and tightens. I break that in the name of Jesus. All the voices of torment, tell them to go. Tell them I'm not listening to you anymore. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And I command all that depression, I command that to go right now in the name of Jesus. I command the name of Jesus, even that seasonal disorder, we command that to go right now in the name of Jesus. It causes people to be depressed in the winter. We command that to go right now in the name of Jesus. All the oppression of the mind, I just command that to come off right now in the name of Jesus. All that those spirits that torment in the night, we come against you right now in the name of Jesus. We command you to go. Those nightmare spirits, the spirits of insomnia, those spirits of distress and worry, that onslaught of the enemy that attacks in the middle of the night, we set the blood of Jesus against you. We command you to go in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, I command right now, calamity, distress, and anguish, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Expel. I command right now, marriage-breaking demons, come out in the name of Jesus. I command division, discord, disharmony, disunity in marriages. And I don't care if your spouse is here or not. Get rid of it in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. All that adultery, fantasizing, anger, hatred, murder, come out in the name of Jesus. I speak to murder with the tongue, and I command where you are speaking horrible things to your spouse in the name of Jesus, degrading and intimidating. I break off spirits of intimidation in the name of Jesus, and spirits of control, that you control your spouse through words and intimidation and fear. And I command, now it's up to you to let it go. Expel in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loose and let go. I break off generational family curses, curses of addiction. Come out in the name of Jesus. I speak to alcoholic addiction and I break it right now. Drugs, come out in the name of Jesus. I speak to marijuana, that spirit of diva, that divination. Come out in the name of Jesus. I speak to cocaine, heroin user. Expel in the name of Jesus. All that escapism, come out in the name of Jesus. That false identity, expel in the name of Jesus.
We command that voice of the accuser. We command that voice. You be silent in the name of Jesus Christ. How dare you come to accuse the people of God? We come against you. We command you to be silent. And I command in Jesus' name that voice that accuses people in the middle of the night, in the day, in the name of Jesus Christ. Those sins of our past, they're under the blood. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. And we declare that we receive the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for those sins. And we now command voice of the accuser, you be silent. You be silent in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare in Jesus' name that we are healed and we are forgiven, that we walk free of condemnation. And I command that voice of condemnation, you be silent in the name of Jesus Christ. And we come against all that confusion that comes in from the voice of the accuser in the name of Jesus Christ. We say, confusion, you go Cloudiness of mind, yes, you yes. go in Jesus' fog. Name. Yes. Chaos, fog. You mm-hmm. go in the name of Jesus Christ. And we can we speak to that voice of the scrambler spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to go. We command you to be uprooted, and we command your works to be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, in the rehesum bareshe kato brabasata, monzere de kito rahase ke lavashonda renakata, ora hase tama. God, we just worship you. And Father God, we ask God right now that you pour out your spirit over this entire group of people, Lord. God, abosata, let them feel your presence, Lord. Shenomo sure kitara, and I speak life. Into each and every one of you, I speak life into you, the life of God. I speak healing and restoration. I declare right now what the enemy has taken from you. We put a demand right now on restoration, and I call restoration to you. I command where the enemy has even held back what should have been restored to you. I speak into the spirit realm and I say, give it up and let it go in the name of Jesus. And I call back restoration of finances, restoration of family, restoration of health and time in the name of Jesus. I command restoration loosed. Be loose to God's people in the name of Jesus. I declare in the name of Jesus a sound mind. A sound mind. A sound mind in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command the minds of the people in here to come into alignment. I command the crooked places to be made straight in the name of Jesus. All those crooked places, I command right pathways before you in the name of Jesus. I command light where there's been darkness. I say darkness be dispelled. And I declare that the light of Jesus, revelation of Jesus Christ, is being released right now into areas that were dark in the name of Jesus. And the light drives back that darkness in the name of Jesus. We declare darkness, you be gone. You be backed out in the name of Jesus. And I declare Jesus Christ, the light of the world. I declare his life, his light, his healings, his blessings, his restoration to be upon you in the name of Jesus. I declare you are blessed coming in and you are blessed going out. You are blessed in your bank accounts. You are blessed in the city. You are blessed in your businesses. You are blessed in your jobs. You are blessed in your marriages. You are blessed with your children in the name of Jesus.
We declare in Jesus' name that these people of God, they walk in the peace of the Most High God. We speak peace to the storm, and we say, storm, peace, be still. We declare in our lives that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we declare that we walk in the fullness of his spirit, and we declare that we walk in peace, we walk in fulfillment, we walk in restoration, we walk in the anointings and the giftings that God has put upon our lives, and we declare that everywhere we go, that we are the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everywhere and every person that we put our hands on, that the healing power of the Most High God flows to our hand. And we declare everywhere we go, we are a blessing. We've been blessed to be a blessing. And we declare everywhere we go that people, when they hear our voice, they hear the voice of the Most High God come from our vocal cords. And we declare in Jesus' name that everywhere we go, we are a living testimony of the Most High God and his goodness. We declare everywhere we go that peace, joy, fulfillment, healing, and restoration, they follow us and they come, they flow through us. In the name of Jesus Christ, that is our declaration. And we declare that we are changing our communities. We are changing the people around us and our neighbors and on our jobs, that we are making an impact and an influence upon those people. And we declare in Jesus' name that as we're healed, we become the healers. As we're restored, we become the restorer. As we're delivered, we become the deliverer. Yes. And we declare in Jesus' name that the goodness of God will not be contained contained in us, but will flow out of us. And everyone that we come into contact with, they'll be blessed and increased because of their association with us. In Jesus' name, we declare it. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. And I declare rule in the midst of your enemies, for I am getting ready, says the Lord, to pour out upon you blessing. Those things that you have believed me for, in the name of the Lord, I declare shifting in the spirit realm, and those things beginning to be poured out over every one of you, says the Lord. Begin to know and begin to hear and begin to receive, says the Lord. For you are ready for breakthrough, says the Lord. You are ready for breakthrough in areas that you have stood even for years, says the Lord. For I am coming in as a flood, says the Lord. And I am bringing in my grace. And I am bringing in my victory. So get ready, my people, says the Lord. Take your position and stand, says the Lord. For you are ready to receive great restoration, great reward, says the Lord.
Now hear the Lord say, my children, the Lord says, I am moving you and elevating you to a whole new level, says the Lord. And no longer are you going to listen to the demonic whispers that say, you're not free. You're not really free. This is not who you are. But the Lord says, you're going to rise up and you're going to know who you are. And you're going to know what's inside of you. And you're going to walk in it. And you're going to exert that authority, says the Lord. The Lord says, this is an army that is rising up to take her place. And the Lord says, you have been called for such a time as this. There's an appointment in your being here today, says the Lord. And that appointment is your divine call. It's not just your freedom. Your freedom's a requirement. But that's not why you're here. The Lord says, you are here for a greater call and a greater purpose, says the Lord. And the Lord says, this is your hour. Seize it. Seize it. Because this is what you were called to become. This is what you were called to do. It's like the rule in the midst of your enemies, but also to rule in the midst of the enemies upon the earth. There's greatness inside of you. The enemy has lied to you again and again and made you feel small and nothing, just like a grasshopper. But the Lord says, you are no grasshopper. The Lord says, you are giant slayers. And the Lord says, I put greatness in the inside of you. Arise and take what I have given you. It's a gift. No, you don't deserve it. Gifts aren't given because they're deserved. They're given freely. I have given you this gift.
Hallelujah.
Take it.
Hallelujah.
Just take it. It's yours, says the Lord.
Glory.
And I hear the Lord say, I'm not done. I'm not done with you. The Lord, I hear the Lord say that you're in this place, and some of you are in this place that there's been a lot of despair, and there's been, I hear the Lord say, I've heard your heart cry. I've heard you cry out to me, but I'm not done. I haven't left you alone. I hear the Lord say that you are truly a work in progress, but my work shall be completed and fulfilled in you. And I hear the Lord say that the dreams that I planted within you, I'm going to give you everything that you need to achieve them. But I hear the Lord say it's time for you to bring some things into alignment. I hear the Lord say that there's some things in each of our lives that we need to set aside and that we need to put behind us. And the Lord says, surely put your past behind you. And I hear the Lord say, stop bringing it back up to me. I heard your prayer and I heard I've forgiven you and I've forgotten it. And every time you bring it up, it cuts that wound. It peels that wound back open. Time to let it go, says the Lord. It's time to walk on and to walk out. For the plan that I have for you is a plan filled with purpose, vision. And my plan is filled with fulfillment, peace, and understanding. And the things that you've asked for, says the Lord, I'm equipping you even now. For the Lord says, many of you that are here tonight, you could have sat home, but you chose to come out. And the Lord says, I will honor this faithfulness, and I will honor your desire to be free from every stronghold of the enemy. And the Lord said, it's not my purpose for you, is not just for you to be free, but it's for you to become the one that can put the key in the lock for someone else and open prison doors.
Amen.
Because people, be assured of one thing. I love you. I love you, but I have greater purpose in you than just getting you free. I have the Lord say, I'm a strategist, and it is part of my strategy. As much as I love you, part of you walking out of this, it's part of my plan. It's part of my plan for you to walk out. I hear the Lord say, please walk out. Please walk out. Everything that's held you captive from in your past, those things don't have power over you. They don't have a hold on you anymore. Walk out. Walk out. And I hear the Lord say, there are those of you that are sitting here right now that have a heart to minister and have a heart to touch the lives of people that surround you, says the Lord. But you must walk out. You must walk out. You must walk out. You must walk out. Make the decision today to do whatever it takes. And don't hold anything back. And don't draw a line, says the Lord. Don't say, well, I'll do this, but not that. If you'll give me full access, I'll heal every broken part. I'll mend every broken fence. I'll restore relationships that you felt like were beyond repair. I'll bring healing into your body. I'll bring healing to your soul and to your mind. It's not my desire to see you crushed and broken and wanting and in need. It is my desire to see you whole, complete, to walk in my joy, to walk in my peace, and to prosper, and to fulfill the cry of the earth. I hear the Lord say that the earth is crying out. The earth is crying out for you and a manifestation of my goodness in your life, says the Lord.
Amen. Amen. The manifestations of the sons of God, the earth is waiting. That's our mandate. And God is preparing you. And people that are coming, you're going to rise up into a new level that you've never been in before. Because God has positioned it. Wow. He said, I will bring the blind by a way that they don't know. And you know what? I'm going in ways that I never knew before. I'm planning on that. He said, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I'm going to go down some new paths this next year. Y'all need to be declaring this too. It's Isaiah 42:16, amplified. He said, I will make darkness into light. Any place that there's been darkness, God is making that into light before me. And every uneven place, God, you are making that into a plain, a level place for me. And I receive that. And then he goes on, I have determined to do this for you, says the Lord, and I will not leave you forsaken. Let's put down the baggage. Let's get rid of the baggage. Just lay these things down, and let us begin to run this race that God has set before us. Let's pick up the mandate again that God gave in the very, very beginning. And it doesn't make difference. There are people here tonight, I'm going to just tell you this, then we're going to quit, that you are in a place of poverty and lack. And I feel like the Lord is going to shift that. You're going to see change. You come into the house of God, and there's wealth in the house of God. God is not poor. And God's wanting to shift your finances. So be expecting. Be willing. Be obedient. Just like this person said to me yesterday, praise in the Spirit. Begin to pray in the Spirit. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Ask him to come in and baptize you. And then just begin to pray in your new prayer language. It's that easy. Let's say, Father God, I ask you to baptize me with your Holy Spirit, to give me even a fresh filling. Now, Lord, I receive the fullness of your Spirit. And just like in the book of Acts, when they begin to pray in the other tongues, when they begin to pray in their prayer language, I will begin right now in the name of Jesus. Speak with me. I believe as we will begin as a group of people to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, we're going to go back into a place of tongues and interpretation. It's going to break out in this class. You're going to hear it. Tongues and interpretation. He will give us interpretation. We're going to begin to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit coming back into the church. Miracles, healings. God's positioning us. We have to be equipped for the mandate, and we are equipped. We have to release it, okay? The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you. And I declare that you are blessed coming in and blessed going out. We're going to release you tonight. Next week, come. There's more. God is, what I feel God is saying is to expose the works of darkness and position you to start picking that mandate up again to get you free.